Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Christian Skelton here with you on this Monday morning, presented by Green Ventures Landscaping, outdoor patios, landscaping design, lawn maintenance, and more. Visit greenventureslandscaping.com. Live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. We'll have Corey Curtis from News 2 with us for his weekly visit coming up at 8 o'clock. The Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad later this hour at 7:45. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. There was a big to-do made of the Fanatics Fest in New York City last week, Joe. LeBron James appeared at this thing and started talking, so that was probably the main headliner. Mm-hmm. Cam Ward also ended up there at the Fanatics Fest in NYC, and had, I thought, some interesting things to say on Brian Daboll and the input that Daboll has allowed him to have in the Titans offense. Here's what Cam Ward had to say this weekend.
Us bringing in Daboll in this 5-6 months that I've been with him, he's taught me so much, right, that I wish I knew last year.
What has he taught you about, basically, like, is it more schemes or is it more defense that he's been able to kind of teach you?
He's everything. I think the best thing about him that he's allows the quarterback to have his input on the offense, mm-hmm, whether that's week to week or the whole playbook. The first thing that, I had a great relationship with him during the pre-draft process, mm-hmm, last year when I was coming out. But the first thing, as soon as we hired him, it was, what do you want to run? Everything I wanted to do, he didn't talk about what he did,
yeah,
with Josh, with Jackson last year, with other quarterbacks he has. It was, what did I want to do?
I love that.
So he listened to the quarterback. He sees it from my perspective when the, mm-hmm, bullets are actually flying, and where my mind goes to during the play and how I get through the read versus the coverage. He's really helped me be more of a situational football player. And I think that's going to help me down the road because, I don't have to think big play on first and second down. Really, I just got to be prepared for one down. That's third down, I think. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's how he explained, that's where quarterback gets played on third down, whether it's third and short, medium, or long. You got to come with it, and then you got to be good in two-minute drill and red zone. And if you do those three things right as a quarterback, you end up being one of the best in the league.
So that was Cam Ward with the Debo and Joe podcast there, which is James Harrison and Joe Hayden, Pittsburgh Steelers legends up there.
And I feel like there's just a lot. I heard like a in the background. Yeah. People just cheering constantly.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like a laugh track.
Yeah.
That was good stuff.
No, I thought it was interesting. And, it was interesting that, immediately he started going into, the input that Daboll has allowed him to have in the offense. And I thought about that from a couple of perspectives. I mean, number one, I think there's been a lot of kind of reading between the lines this offseason of, in Callahan's offense. And I always am careful with this because when the guy gets punted out the door, everything – we've talked about this before. Everything the previous place sucked.
And, new guy's a genius.
Yeah, Arden Key talking about Vrabel set. I don't know if those guys ever made a single correction ever. I don't know if they ever watched film. It's okay. That's a hot take there.
But these guys.
Coaching geniuses here.
Do they make corrections?
But I do think, reading between the lines this offseason, there was a lot of suggestion that, Callahan was this is the system we're going to run, and this is what it is, and all those things. Now, I heard Cam's comments on Daboll there about, the involvement that he's had in the offense. And I like it. I also thought, Dable's been pretty successful in his career as an OC. Should Cam Ward have as much input in the offense as it appears like he does when it comes to that? I don't think that Cam Ward's going to be out there, calling plays to himself or anything like that based on what we just heard.
Johnny Unitas used to do.
It does feel
throw it
like
up in the sand.
That's
man.
Right. But it does feel – I mean, he said it. He's like, he called me and – he wasn't really worried about what they did under Josh Allen or Jackson Dart. He wanted to hear my thoughts on what I like to run, what I like to do in the offense, and kind of form the offense around that. I just thought that was a really interesting tidbit that he shared there on the Debo and Joe podcast.
It was. I go back to our last hour as we were talking about, Tennessee and Golish and everything, and there was at one point I remember interviewing Golish, and this isn't totally out of the blue or some revolutionary thing, but he would tell me, like, on Wednesdays, he'd go through and Hendon Hooker could just veto whatever play he wanted to veto out of the playbook, and he's a big – I think everybody talks to some extent about this, like, you know, what does the player do well? Start with that. But some people, I think, are a lot more married to their systems. I mean, if that's truly – maybe that's the key or one of the keys to Dable's success is that he's really, like
– malleable.
Yeah, and yeah, there you go. Good word. Or, yeah, it's you know, custom-made offense based on – I think you have to be a lot like that. Of course, you have your concepts and your things that you do, but – I thought it was interesting when Cam said, you know, sees it through my eyes out there. I mean, first of all, they haven't even been through a game together, so they haven't been through a preseason game together. But obviously they're looking at practice cutups and they're going through that stuff. And, I mean, if an OC can actually do that and the quarterback can feel like that's happening, that's got to be a great way to build trust. Obviously Dable has a method here that has worked, and it makes sense to me to be more – What does this person do well? What can I do with this talent, with these weaknesses and strengths, as opposed to my system's awesome and he's going to learn it?
Yeah, I like the thought of that with your offensive coordinator in terms of just being willing and able to adapt on the fly to that. I mean, everybody on the text lines right now, like, sounds like a shout at Callahan and Holtz. Like, it's just,
you can take it that
Trevor
way.
Trevor says, taught him so much in 5 to 6 months. Fart you, Callahan. That's right. Trevor on the text line. I mean, I did pick up a little bit of that. Maybe that was intentional or unintentional.
Yeah,
by Cam.
I don't think it was intentional, but obviously if you praise the new guy, then it's automatically going to be. So what happened to the last guy? What was the last guy doing?
You won't believe how much I've learned from Dable in the last 6 months. We hadn't played a game yet.
It's weird because, like, Brian Callahan didn't tell me that I should grip the football on the laces. It's so thank you, Brian, for Brian Dable, for teaching me that. Yeah. No, it's you're gonna look at that. I think Callahan was probably a little bit too. This is what we do, so you should be able to do that. And maybe when you are only around great quarterbacks that are like top of the game, maybe that's actually can be a bad thing for you as a coach. I don't know. I'm trying to make excuses for him way after he's been fired. Yeah. Other than he's an idiot, which is the general consensus.
The prevailing
now.
Theme. Yeah. No, like the Ward Dable partnership here, like I am interested to see, you know, one of the things that Sala talked about when Dable got hired, and Dable was asked about this a little bit. I think he kind of downplayed it more than most, but you know, the type of offense that the Titans are going to be running this year, it's not the typical Shanahan McVay offense that we're just seeing. So it's so spread out throughout the league now with that coaching tree. Now, it's not like the Titans are going to be reinventing the wheel here offensively. Like, teams have run the Earhart Perkins offense before. It's not like defensive coordinators are just going to have no clue what to do when it's out there. And I do think, you know, there's a baseline of concepts and plays and stuff that you're going to try to get through throughout the game that's similar throughout all of these offenses. But I am interested to see, like, when you're Dable and you get more and more film, but really more importantly, more and more time with Cam Ward, how do you adapt and adjust things on the fly in terms of what you're trying to lean into with your calls as time goes on here to try to maximize him? And that's where I think with a guy like Dable, who's got so much experience in the heat of it doing that I really have a lot of confidence in. Like, you can lean back on that.
Yeah. I think he's about as good a hire as you could have had, other than guys who certainly are just never going to come available for a job like this. Now, there's still going to be moments and plays where it just comes down to, does he see it fast enough, and does he put the ball where it needs to be? And no OC can do that for you, right? So, but this is where, again, I think we get to the other side of built-in excuses. This is a built-in sort of demand on Cam Ward in a way when you have a guy with his track record. But it's a great thing, and he seems to be excited about it, and that's what you want to see.
I mean – There's another interesting thing from – apparently somebody there was a collector who was approaching Cam Ward. And the guy, Cam Ward, looked at the guy and was like, I'm going to make your card a lot of money this year, man. Like, just going to make you a lot of money. So we'll see what happens.
So he has a card. He has a rookie card?
A card, yeah.
Okay. I mean, even if Cam was like, let's say Cam's
got to make the price go up.
What if Cam is MVP this year? Well, how much is that card gain, like $10 in value or something? I don't know the market specifics, but it seems like usually it's like way late in a Hall of Fame career or something that you would see like major value.
I don't know, man. Like some of the money that these cards go for, like sports cards, is just unbelievable. Like, it's crazy, the money that some of these things go for.
Even, like, current player cards.
Yeah. Like, some of it's just nuts.
Well, then, is it, like, tied to Bitcoin somehow, or what?
Don't know. Okay. Don't know. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. More to get to on Cam Ward, the Titans, coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, the game. Back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, the game. Little Alan Jackson bringing us back in. Rex Road's favorite genre of music.
Yeah, Christian's hit me up with some country. I like it. You know what? I like it. I'm Alan Jackson.
I do too.
There you go. Hey, I saw Rex Ryan as an NFL. I saw, you know, did you see his post?
I did not see that.
Oh,
no.
See, this is the only downside of getting off Twitter is you miss stuff.
Miss,
like,
Rex Ryan posts?
Rex Ryan went to, like, Ella Langley concert in, like, Baltimore and, like, gushed about it and – He said he's an Ella fella. So there you go.
I'm an Ella fella.
I like her.
She's really good.
I guess I am too.
Yeah.
So there you go. Country music. All day, baby.
There we go. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. Some texture says the card he's talking about sold for like $80,000 already. That's what I'm talking about. Like, these numbers are insane.
What?
There's different, like, types of them too. Like, there's like these platinum ones, and it's crazy.
So it is a little bit like this digital,
I guess.
These digital resources Bitcoin? People yeah. are buying.
Trevor says, according to AI, a high-end signed rookie card would jump up in value by 150 to 300% if he wins league MVP.
And it's already 80K? Is this Tops?
I don't
Fleer?
Know.
Donruss? Like, help me out. Where are we at? I mean, I used to collect cards, you know, when I was a kid. I used to have a Mattingly rookie, Ripken rookie. Had some good ones, man.
Yeah, man.
Might still have them. But that was like, ooh, you might sell this someday for, you know, $2,000.
Yeah.
$80K? That's crazy,
That's
man.
That's a lot of money.
Cam
wants to make him some more, though.
Okay, so I guess I take back what I said last segment. I guess he can make him a lot more money.
I guess we'll see. We'll see what happens on that front this year. I'm looking through The Athletic right now. A friend of the show, Vic Tafur, has come out with some NFL over-under win totals and predictions. And I was very interested to see what he would do with the Titans. Because I have seen both ways with the Titans this year. You know, last year, I think people looked at the Titans and they said, I forget what the over-under was. I think it was like 4.5 or something like that. People were like, the Titans are going to be absolutely terrible this year. And turns out they were absolutely terrible and did not reach the over on that one. I think the over-under is like 6.5 this year. And Vic from The Athletic, Vic Tafur, is going under 6.5. Says, quote, I don't see it yet with Cam Ward, keyword being yet, and I think Robert Saleh is going to regret not staying with the Niners another year and waiting for a better job to open up next year.
Damn.
Good grief. Okay.
Come on, Vic.
Can we get to the over?
Is this?
I'd just take 7. That'd be great. I'd sign up for 7 right now. I know some Titans fans wouldn't because they want a little bit more. They think maybe a bigger job, but I'd sign up for 7 right now.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah, would you like you like just sign up? Yeah, I don't know.
For the sake of this program, I think I would,
but
because I'd be scared to death if not. They're going 3 again.
Yeah, I mean, I guess 6. You could still sort of keep it interesting for a while, depending on where the losses are. If a lot of them are late, like again, it's like when it comes down to it, selfishly, I just can't handle the draft stuff.
No,
before Halloween, you know, like. I'd like to get to December, and there still be
somewhat meaningful football
games that we talk about because we care about the games.
Yeah,
under 6.5 probably isn't going to get that done.
No,
I don't know that I'd sign up for 7 though. We already did our predictions. What I think I picked seven, didn't I? Did I pick seven and you
picked
six?
Our schedule release ones. We'll have our official ones here.
Yeah, I mean, we can change, of course.
Yeah.
But
I was six, I think.
You were six, I was seven, right?
Yeah.
I think that's right.
6-7.
Hmm.
Is that still a thing?
I hope not. I just did it because I'm a boomer. So hope you enjoyed that YouTube chat. Apparently, YouTube fonts are bigger now and people are
that's good.
Freaking out.
The Robert Saleh regretting not staying another year for the Niners and taking another job. That's a shot. It's a low blow from
right,
Vic.
Right after that loss to the Jets to open the season. Calgon, take me away. No. That would be an immediate game. Like what have I done moment. What have I done?
I mean, there's some
it's a lot on that opener, man.
There's a lot on the opener. There's some hot takes in here by Mr. Tafur as well from The Athletic. I mean, first off, I think the Rams over-under is set 11.5. He's going under. That's a hot take, I think. I mean, I guess that could mean 11-6. But
yeah, I still kind of like it, though.
Yeah.
I kind of like it. If they get everyone for some reason, I just feel like it's just not going to be what everybody hopes. The super team thing doesn't, you know, it goes bad so often. Although it's hard to imagine as loaded. What if they get Diggs, too, as their third receiver?
Are the Cowboys really at 9.5 for their over-under?
That seems a little high.
Like, do they think Caleb Downs is going to be that good?
He's a safety.
I know. Yeah, like, he's a really good player. I like Caleb Downs a lot. I mean, their defense. They've addressed some of their defense, but you know, they have Rashawn Gary. I don't know how well that's going to go for them. I've watched Rashawn Gary a lot, pretty close, the last couple of years. Has it gone very well? We'll see. But I just don't know if their defense is going to be good enough.
No, I that's a high. That's very high.
They're going to score a lot of points, or at least they should, with Pickens and Lamb and Dak playing the way he is.
Yeah, yeah, but that doesn't necessarily translate to wins. And the NFC, a lot of good teams. I mean, their division is, you know, it's kind of like how you view the Commanders.
Yeah.
You could look at it like they're the clear second-best team, but, yeah, that seems a little high. That's a Cowboys bump for them. Yeah. But it's also, again, you're trying to get people to, you know, you're setting things for people to bet. So sometimes fan base factors into that.
I will say, everybody is that I've seen this offseason, and this kind of factors into the Cam Ward discussion. You know, everybody wants to make the Cam Ward-Jackson Dart comparison, and I get it. You know, obviously the reporting is pretty clear that the Giants tried to move up with the Titans and take Cam Ward. So I understand all that. A lot of hype this offseason about the Saints and their offense under Kellen Moore and Tyler Shuck. Like we mentioned Vic DeFour's piece. I think they're over under win total 7.5. I mean, it's a horrible division. But 7.5, and he's got them going over there. And people are really talking up Tyler Shuck this offseason. I mean, I'm interested to see it. Like if you're a Titans fan, you're looking at it and you're like, well, I definitely need Cam Ward to outperform Jackson Dart and Tyler Shuck. That'd be great. Heading into year two.
Yeah. Yeah, there is some there was some promise that I saw last year, for sure. But, yeah, that seems like it might be a little bit overblown. I guess that's another thing where you look at a team's division and it's like if you have a pulse, you know,
you're going to have a chance.
You got a chance in that division. Speaking of the Giants, did you see the Scataboo thing?
Oh, yeah.
I think I'm going to distance myself from Cam Scataboo at this point, okay? I take back all I said about wanting to take Cam Scataboo on my team. I mean, the kid's not all there. Like, what are you doing, man?
He's doing a backflip after – I mean, what was his
and
injury?
And falling. Yeah, the broken ankle,
yeah,
right?
Broken ankle. And he coming back, and he did a backflip and just fell down. I was like, good grief,
like,
man.
These guys have, like, you can't – you know, ride like a super fast Peloton in their contract. He's out here doing this. John Harbaugh. I'd like to see John Harbaugh absolutely hammer him for that.
Yeah.
Someone put on the text line here, this Cam rookie, gold vinyl NFL shield rookie patches, and it's going for $48,999. $48K. $50K.
Good grief.
So these are not tops, right? What's the brand? Anyone tell me?
No idea. Oh, man. Dennis on the text line says, Joe does the 6-7, apologizes for having a boomer moment, 30 seconds later, drops a Calgon Take Me Away. Do younger people get that reference?
No. Younger people, that was a commercial that was popular in like the
late 70s, early 80s.
I think it was the late 70s. Yeah. It was like when we were watching Little House on the Prairie, which my wife and I watched some this weekend, okay? Laura Ingalls Wilder, look into it. All right, there's a reboot. Don't watch the reboot. Watch the original. Michael Landon, great stuff.
My wife started watching the reboot.
What'd she think?
I don't know. She just started it last night. I'll have to get her thoughts.
Okay. Yeah, get her thoughts. It just, you know, do we have to reboot everything?
We got to come up with some better ideas.
Little House on the Prairie was perfect. I also read the books when I was little.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We will switch gears, get into the Predators coming up next, including a take I saw on the Predators this weekend that floored me. We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game.
I mean, we could mix it up a little. Oh, this is Ella, though, isn't it?
Sure is.
See, I'm not enough of an Ella fella. Which one is this one?
Weren't for the Wind? There you go. She's pretty good.
She is good. Rex and I, Nolensville, brothers in Nolensville Arms. Now, Rex.
Keep shoes on, both of
you. Yeah, I was going to say, I'm not as interested in people wearing sandals.
Shout out to Ray. We got to get him on the show at some point.
We should.
We have to get the dump button ready, but we have to get him on the show at some point. Be good to go. I mean, he's on TV. He knows how to play the game. He can keep it clean.
It seems like it, yeah. Which is, that was a great Hard Knocks, by the way. Had to set the all-time record for F-bombs, right?
I would say
like
so.
In any show.
Yeah, probably so. Probably so. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. The Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad coming up here in just a few minutes. So, Dom Lecision at The Athletic has come out with a model. Comes out all these models throughout the year of like analytical data and all these things. And what he came out with late last week was NHL teams that have improved the most this offseason. So I'm reading this, and you know, there's all these factors that go into how good your team's going to be heading into a year. And basically his point in this is, hey, you know, on paper, it's very simple, this process. Players coming in versus players that are shipped out, how much better on paper are these teams from where they ended off this past year heading into the offseason? And the number one team that has improved, according to this model, the Nashville Predators.
Boom.
This offseason. So you've got Maverick Bork, Ross Colton, Jack Drury, Hoglander, Alexander Kerfoot coming in, Halla, LaRue, Svechkov out. And if you want to take it back even farther than that, you can start talking about, you know, Cole Smith and McCarron and all those guys. But based on where the roster ended last year with those guys coming in, Halla, LaRue, Svechkov out, a net rating added of plus 27 by this metric that Lecision uses here at The Athletic. So it means the Predators have, by this model, gotten better than any other team. And basically, like, I won't read the whole thing here, but it basically says if you're surprised by Nashville landing in the top spot, that makes two of us. But it basically, you look at the bottom six players that they've added, and the bottom six players that they've added were way better than the bottom six players than they had. Like, that's basically it. So there, it doesn't change the top six formula all that much, but the bottom six players that they brought in, plus Maverick Bork, who's going to be, I think, in their top six, they have basically just highly upgraded their floor, is basically what this means.
Right. So he says Nashville's forward group started the summer in the bottom five. It's a lot closer to average now. Also, if you're surprised by Nashville in the top spot, that makes two of us. And he says it's admittedly a weird result, given that Bork is the, you know, is the big ad. But it's still, I mean, well, I think it also speaks a little bit to a terrible free agent class and just how, like, basically massive improvements are only available for you if you want to make a big trade in this league this summer.
Right.
So there's that too. But still, I still look at it like, hey, that's good. I mean, you've upgraded yourself. Obviously Bork is going to be a big storyline here, but these other guys too, you feel like you've improved yourself. So good for the Preds.
Yeah, I think they've improved themselves. I mean, in the case of, you know, Drury and Hoglander, obviously Bork, like, they've gotten younger at some of these spots too. And that's especially when you go back to last year, and again, you're talking Cole Smith and McCarron and those guys, like, you're getting a little bit younger. You know, Ross Colton's an interesting piece. Like, I do think they've got a good kind of like middle six right now. I still don't know that their top end is good enough when it comes to, like, you know what Forsberg's going to be. It's Stamkos at age 36. Is he going to be putting in, 40 goals again? We'll see those things. But, like, they've clearly upgraded their forward group here. And then the question is now going to be, how many young guys can step in and add to that mix next year and what that's going to look like? They're going to need some of them to do it. Is Brady Martin going to be of it? We talked a lot about that this offseason, so we'll see. But I found that to be very interesting that they are, according to this model, number one. Like, New York is at number two. Washington's at three. So those teams have made a lot of moves as well. Jeff Kelty, also over the weekend, out with the Nashville Predators. He's been hired by the San Jose Sharks as their assistant GM, Joe, which means now you've got – I mean, they hired a ton of people under Chris McFarland now that have come in. They've totally reshaped the front office and that structure there. And the old AGMs, you're talking Brian Poyle now out, Jeff Kelty now out, Nickel is still there. So they have changed over basically the entire front office. I mean, it's an overhaul that has taken place.
Yeah, and I always – was just, again, this can happen. I was also impressed, like, at times talking to Brian Callahan. But, just saying, I was always impressed talking to Jeff Kelty. I think he's a really sharp guy and seems to know what he's doing. And hopefully it works out well for him. And that will, get him on a path to being a GM in this league someday.
I think he's going to a good spot. Like, it's people working for the Sharks, it's probably going to end up going pretty well for them over the next few years.
Yeah, and so a lot of the heavy lifting on what could be a special team here moving forward has been done. But it's good to be part of successful organizations, and sometimes it's through no fault of your own. Could be, it's hard to be a part of stagnating organizations, and we kind of knew that the Preds were going to change everything over, and I was really wondering with him, thought maybe he might be, like, if there was one holdover, that might be him. But the bottom line is McFarland has brought in people to be his top people, and so this, this is, I think, a necessary and good move for him.
Well, and I think the fan base is a little rejuvenated here, and that, that'll last for a little while, and we'll see kind of what the job looks like for McFarland as they continue to change this thing over. But how many times have we been on the air taking calls for it's time to change things up, it's time for a new regime? Well, you got it now. And I think even at the beginning of this, there was some Predators fans, even when they hired McFarland, that were a little skeptical of, all right, like, does he have some mandate where he's coming in, he's the GM, he's clearly in charge, but they're not going to get rid of, like, Brian Poyle. They're not going to change things over with Jeff Kelty or their scouting staff and all these things. And clearly, I mean, McFarland has got full reign here to do whatever he wants. And I think there's an excitement that comes with that from Predators fans. Now, that does not guarantee anything. I mean, I don't know where it's going to go from here, but I think there's an excitement that Predators fans have here, kind of a rejuvenated feeling in the fan base.
Yes. Now, Texter saying now scouts. So I don't know. We'll see.
We'll see.
I suppose, sometimes there are, in pro sports organizations, scouting changes that are not announced.
Right.
It's kind of quietly things happen. I know, like, with the Titans in recent years, I think actually PK had a couple of those.
To unearth them. Yeah.
Yeah. Certainly I think the whole thing is getting or has gotten a complete diagnostics check. So, yeah, this is it. You can't, whatever they do from now on, if they make mistakes or whatever, I don't think you can assign it to the DNA. This is where the DNA, that's been a totally fair conversation with the Preds, 100%. Different from what PK tries to do with the Titans.
Yep.
Finally, to me, now it's a different DNA.
Well, it's a different DNA, and to me, this again goes back to the top. Like, this starts with the owner. Like, the owner has greenlit, all right, let's change it up here.
Yeah.
And again, I have no idea if it's going to, it could be a total disaster. I have no clue. But I think we've reached the point where you want to see it. One texter says, probably getting my hopes up But I'm kind of excited for the Preds. I know there are no huge moves, but I like the direction that we seem to be going. You know, that's the thing, too, about the bottom six, like going back to being ranked number one here by The Athletic in terms of, like, on paper, the most improved team this offseason. I also think it puts so much internal pressure on the young guys, which I kind of like. Like, I think we reached the point, and we've talked about this, with some of these young prospects where – I don't know if put up or shut up is the right word, but it's like in some ways with a guy like Kimmel, it's somewhat reminiscent to me of like the Tomasino stuff. It's like, all right, let's go. Like let's get this thing going here.
Yeah.
And if you don't show it, then it's time to move on at that. There's just too many prospects that you've got in your system to just be waiting around forever on guys, you know?
Absolutely. And the Preds here with this net rating of plus 27, you know, again, two of the three guys out that are listed are LaRue and Svechkov, who not long ago we were talking about that. Uh-oh, Svechkov's got this big opportunity. Oh, Zach LaRue with the sandpaper and the skill, and now they're on the way out. So Kimmel may be the next one. But hopefully he's a different outcome.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. The Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad is coming up next. Corey Curtis from News 2 with us at 8 o'clock. All that ahead, Robbie and Rexroad, 1025 the game. An oldie but a goodie.
Oh, yeah.
It is time for the Rex Rant served by the wine cellar in Hendersonville. Man, Bruce was a little fired up on that one. That was a long time ago.
That was.
That was good.
Yeah. I like this song, too, by the way.
That's good. Good stuff.
I'm becoming a country music enthusiast.
You are. Right before our very eyes. Rex Rant, the floor is yours.
Thank you. So let me ask you this question. I got some questions for you.
Okay.
Who's the face of the NFL?
Mahomes.
Okay, here's my answer. Who gives a fart?
Yeah, I don't care. Yeah,
who's the face of the NBA?
LeBron.
Old guy.
Come on.
But I could say Wemby.
Sure.
You could go younger. You could go SGA. And LeBron is the legend.
That's
again,
the LeBron.
I don't care. Who's the face of the NHL? I keep asking these questions of things I don't care. But I'm just curious of your answers.
I mean, McDavid, he's got the personality of this door over here.
Right. He's the best player.
Yeah.
So, but is that the face? I don't give a fart. Who's the face of MLB?
Shohei?
Yeah, I mean, I probably would say that. Yeah. Okay. But again, who freaking cares? Do we ever talk about this?
Not really.
We never talk about this. Now, one time we did, we talked about the face of the Titans. That might have been our first argument on this show.
Taylor Lewan being the face of the franchise in 2015?
We were saying like
2014
in the previous years, I was like, yeah, Mariota was the face, and you were like, no, it was Lewan. Like, Lewan, the face of like post whistle personal fouls.
Yeah, man.
He ended up being a very good player. But no one talks about who the face of this or that is, as far as I know, because no one cares. And yet, and good for you again for being on social media, this whole crap around Caitlin Clark. It won't end. And the thing is, some of the people doing this are friends of mine. Some are people I absolutely hate. And mostly it's a bunch of randoms with just this whole, she's the face of the WNBA. She's not the face. I don't care. Who cares? Look, she's not the best player in the WNBA. It's Asia Wilson. She's the best player. So you could say she's the face of the WNBA. Okay, fine. The league has gotten way more popular since Caitlin Clark came in. So you could say she's the face of the league if you want. Sure, whatever. She is the most popular, or I guess she's the most loved and hated player, I guess, right? Why she's hated, I don't know. Why she's loved, I guess she's a great player. But, I mean, again, some of the people are just co-opting her for this ridiculous argument about everything in the world that somehow has been centered on this one athlete. It's insane. Can we please, and again, the answer is probably just to do what you did and just get off social media, but this argument won't end. It just goes on and on and on. No, she's the face. She's the face. Whoever talks about the face of leagues?
Yeah, it's not a conversation.
Why is this some huge thing now?
I don't think it comes up very much. Like, I do think, being in a hockey background, it's come up a little bit more in hockey just from the standpoint of,
You need more people to be faces.
They've been so hesitant to have any sort of a personality that I think the conversation in hockey has been, can somebody step up? Like, I remember when PK was here, it was like, thank God somebody's got a personality
right.
that's out there, right? But that's about it. Like the NFL doesn't need conversations about faces of the league. If you ask Adele this question, he'd say, oh, we got a bunch of them. That's the beautiful part about being the NFL. Like the NBA, you know, there's a lot of things the NBA as a league has done, particularly over like the last 5 years, that I think is just stupid and I absolutely hate. But the one thing you could never say about the NBA is they don't have any personality. They don't generate conversation. I mean, they do. Like, it's fun to watch. Like, I haven't seen a lot of what you're talking about with Caitlin Clark. I did see the Emmanuel Acho comments on, like, how the league would be better off without her. And it's
some of the takes. Right. I mean, some of the takes that have come out of this, is just like, yeah, it's exhausting, man. And, you know, Caitlin Clark, the other day, she had a, by the way, she had a 40-10, the yep. first 40-10 game, unbelievable game. Two huge games this weekend and two big wins for the Fever. She was also averaging 11 points a game going to that. She doesn't, you know, her percentages aren't as good as you hope they'd be. She leads the league in turnovers. She's not, you know, she's not the 11th best guard. That's some people who hate her who are downgrading her. She's also not the best player. I mean, she's a great player, and I think she could someday be the best player, but she's got to get better. She's got to get tougher. She's got to be better on defense. It's half the game. I mean, how many times have I had that rant? People are already ripping me for another WNBA rant. Hey, man, I'm just saying, okay? Neil says, who is Asia Wilson? Again, that's fine. I mean, look, if you follow sports, you don't know who Asia Wilson is, okay, you just don't like that sport. So then ignore the sport. You know? That's fine.
Yeah. I mean, you don't have to watch every sport out there. Do whatever you want to do. Somebody asking, Keith asking, who's the face of 102.5 The Game? How about you?
I don't think it's me. That's a good question. Who is the face of the game? Ian?
Yeah.
Okay. I like that. I was going to say, you know, maybe Chase.
Maybe so.
Yeah. He's our fearless leader.
He is.
Right?
Yeah.
Chase the face.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Very How nice about that? Texter says, just get off social media, Rex. It'll truly let my... truly make life better. My stress and blood pressure has dropped drastically after disconnecting. Yeah, no,
it's pretty nice.
If I get to the point, yeah, no, I mean, again, I've said this before, but I'm still reliant on the news feed aspect of it to a point. And also, I don't think I can totally get off it unless at some point I don't have a writing job anymore.
Sure.
Could be fired any day. You never know. So that would solve it for me. But I'm with you, man. I try to do it. Just this is one of those things. It just won't go away. And it's just like there's plenty of arguments that go on and on and on forever and ever. And it's very annoying. But this one is just like, why does this matter? Why is it so important to declare this person is the face of this? Because I think all these leagues that we mentioned, you're right. The NHL, that's a little bit.
Yeah.
But, like, there's multiple answers, and I don't think people scream at each other about it all day, right? Like, who should be the MVP? That's a fine argument. Who should be all pro? Who should be on the all NBA first team? Make the all-star game? Yeah. Rookie of the year? These are all fine. Who's the face? Like, what? We're just making up things to scream about.
Well, and it's
And it's all about her, and it's just
at
like,
least with the MVP, like the MVP stuff, like there's an actual award that you're arguing
exactly.
about.
Right, like, it's a real tangible thing
that yeah. somebody's going to win and somebody else is not going to win. Like this is just such a, you know, eye of the beholder conversation that nobody could ever possibly be right or wrong on. Like it's a waste of energy. And to your point, like who really cares? Like. There are great players. Like, is Joe Burrow the face of the NFL, whatever that means? Probably not. He's a great player to watch in the NFL, right? Is Myles Garrett the face of the league? Probably not. But, man, I sure like watching Myles Garrett play football.
Right. Is it always just the best player? Like LeBron, you're probably right. I mean, I think some people would be like, I mean, he has been, but maybe not anymore. Whatever. Yeah, it doesn't matter. It's all just – it's taken away to me. It's made it so exhausting to even – because I like watching WNBA. I mean, I think Caitlin Clark, again, has handled all this very well. And she is a great player. She's not a perfect player, but like all of the arguments that have just that are around her. I mean, she has to be. Talk about someone who should be off social media. I hope she is, because it's just it's so unfair that she gets dragged into this crap.
Yeah, and like you said, played well the other night. Was it 40-11?
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah, no, I mean, she can go off, you know, and
leads the league in assists, so you also have to factor that in. Nobody seems to care about that either. But no, yeah.
Well, right, and that's really where she's great is her vision. It's just that like you can't lead the league in turnovers. You've got to cut that down. And I think some of it is probably a little bit of the Jordan thing of, you know, poor Jordan, who went 1-3 against the Pistons in the playoff series and got his butt kicked, and he finally got in the gym, you know, and dealt with it. And that's probably going to be part of her growth as a player. But I just hope that at some point we can talk about that and, like, the game and the play and not stupid, just, again, culture war tied, but also just, even if it's just about basketball, that the arguments are just exhausting on both sides of it.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Corey Curtis from News 2 with us coming up next for his weekly visit. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game.